Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We return to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And to the four items that Solomon mentions in this particular chapter that will help make your life meaningful and fulfilling, the first of which is to submit to God's inscrutable sovereignty. Now, you can leave out the word inscrutable and still get the main idea of that first section, verses 1 through 6, the importance of submitting to God's sovereignty, but there is also this element of inscrutability, which means that there are many things about God's sovereign rule that we do not understand, cannot understand, we cannot scrutinize. We cannot see into the mind of God. We cannot see into His design and purposes, except in those areas that He chooses to reveal them to us in His Word, the Bible. But there are so many areas of life that are not covered by the Scriptures, and so we can't penetrate what God is doing. And that's probably the reason why we have so much trouble with the sovereignty of God, or at least one of the reasons, maybe not the main reason. But one of the problems is because we want to understand the why. And somehow we think that it's our right to know why, and that God somehow owes us an explanation. And of course, that really flies against the whole concept of God's sovereignty. If we have a claim upon God's explanation, if he owes us an explanation, if we have a right to know, then He is not totally sovereign, is He? He's subject to our rule in that area, that we have a right to expect, yea, demand, that He provide an explanation. And if He won't do that, then we're not going to submit to Him. We're not going to believe in Him. We're not going to trust Him. We're not going to obey Him. Oh, and there we have slipped right out from under a proper relationship to God in His sovereignty. It's so easy to do that. It happens in so many ways. But the first key to making life meaningful and fulfilling, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, is to submit to God's inscrutable sovereignty. But we must move on. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, December 16, and many, many, many thanks to those radio listeners who provide the financial resources necessary to continue the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, the second area was to pursue life's intended fullness, and I don't have time to go back over all that again, except just we've got to learn to accept the good things that God provides and be able to enjoy them without guilt or without idolatry, without turning those into the main object of our lives. But number three, we must prepare for life's perplexing uncertainties, and that's verses 11 and 12. And verse 11 we've covered pretty thoroughly, but we still have verse 12 to consider. But verse 11 is simply telling us that life is uncertain and that there are chance happenings in all of our lives. Chance to us, not to God. They're all planned and designed by God, but they seem to be chance happenings, and we'd better be rightly related to God or we'll have trouble with these things. The race is not to the swift. We think it will be, we think it should be, but it's not always. Nor the battle to the strong. again contrary to our usual way of thinking, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to all of them. To all of these things, there are upsetting circumstances that change the way we think things ought to be, the way we expect them to be, the way that things might normally be. But there's all these perplexities, these uncertainties, and if we can't handle those, then of course life is going to be very difficult, and to enjoy life is going to be almost impossible. But after moving from life is uncertain in verse 11, he comes to another very obvious reality, but we've got to come to terms with it, and that is death is unpredictable. Verse 12, for man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Well, that's just a poetic way of saying no one knows the time and circumstances of his death. It may come suddenly without warning, or it may come very slowly with a lot of time to prepare for it. But we can't know that. We can't count on that. All we can count on is that it will come, but the fact of the matter is we don't know when it will come. We really don't. Even people who have a terminal illness that is slowly robbing them of life have no guarantee that they're going to live the 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or whatever that the doctor says they will probably live. Sometimes life is cut short from those predictions for all kinds of reasons. A person may be experiencing their life ebbing away because of a terminal illness and something else, a heart attack or an automobile accident or who knows what may take their life suddenly. I mean, the fact of the matter is death is unpredictable. Life is very uncertain. So, what's the point? Well, the point is that if you build your life upon human achievement, you're going to be sadly disappointed. And if you assume that you have a long time to live, you may be sadly disappointed. The truth of the matter is, and this is a very significant truth that we all need to get our minds around and apply to our lives, and that is, you are not prepared to live until you are prepared to die. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows the time of his death. All of us have known people whose lives have been cut short very unexpectedly, very, very quickly, and what we would say is prematurely. Well, how we see examples of that. Why do we think that somehow that's always going to happen to somebody else but never to me? We have to be prepared to die at any moment. And then we will be able to be prepared to live a productive life, a fulfilling life, a God-honoring life, a satisfactory life here upon the earth. But you can't really live until you're prepared to die. And of course, the only way you're prepared to die is to have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be rightly related to God, your Creator, the one who made you, the one who's given you life, the one who sustains your life, and the one that you are going to give an account to someday for your life. You must be rightly related to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your transgressions against your Creator have to be dealt with, and you can't deal with them. You have to submit yourself to the righteousness that is found in Christ alone and accept the fact that you are a debtor to mercy alone. You're a beggar. You are incapable of producing the righteousness that is needed in order to be justified before a holy God. But that righteousness is found in Christ, and it is offered freely to those who will trust in Him and Him alone. And when you have been born again by the Spirit of God, and it is a sovereign work of God in our lives, but when you have been born again by the Spirit of God and are prepared, therefore, to die at any moment, then you can start living life to the fullest, knowing that you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of the remainder of this day. But you need to understand that, and you need to think about that, and you need to prepare for that. And then when you are prepared to die, you can truly work on making your life fulfilling. I'm living for Christ. He's the center of my life. My days belong to Him. My energies belong to Him. My resources belong to Him. My family belongs to Him. My job belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. He gave it. I give it back. It all belongs to Him, but He's entrusted me with it as a stewardship to utilize and manage for His glory. And isn't it wonderful? He allows me to enjoy these things while I'm managing them, while I am utilizing these things in the interest of Christ's kingdom. He allows me to enjoy them for myself, as long as I don't make them the goal and primary meaning of my life. And that, of course, takes us back to living life to the fullest, pursuing life's intended fullness. But to do that, we have to prepare for life's perplexing uncertainties, including the inevitability and unpredictability of death. But there's finally one more before the chapter's over, and that is to apply wisdom's essential contribution. And that's verses 13 through 18, and I'll read it, and then we'll have to save most of it until the broadcast tomorrow because we're running out of time. But here's what it says. "This wisdom," said Solomon, verse 13, "this wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." Well, that's verses 13 through 18, which conclude chapter 4, and it's got some very, very interesting thoughts here, as I'm sure you realized as I read through that. In fact, what I read, I'm sure some of you have never read before, have never heard before, but there it is, right there in the Bible. If you are a systematic Bible reader, you have read it before, and I would strongly recommend that practice. But nevertheless, there is here a declaration of wisdom and an illustration of wisdom and an application of wisdom. And that is the way the chapter concludes. So, join me again tomorrow at the same time on the same station, and we will get into this last section and see what the Lord has for us here. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.